Our hope is that this will help give us a focal point for this season as we search together and want to grow together in faith. So the hope is that you have a cup in mind if you didn't bring it tonight, and that when you go home, you'll put that cup somewhere where you see it daily so that you are reminded about our worship experience together, along with the reality that God cares about every aspect of your life and that God is present in the ordinary places of your life. Last Wednesday, the Bible story that we heard was about the disciples' quest for greatness, one still familiar to us in this day and age. It's a pursuit that makes no sense in God's kingdom, as God created us to be unique, like a cup. We're not meant to be compared with others. We're created to serve the purpose that God has already imagined for each of us. We explored a rhythm of emptying and filling that's very natural for a cup, but not so natural for us. To help us better understand this rhythm into which God calls us to live, we're going to spend a little more time with the empty part of the process tonight, the open cup. You may or may not realize that the psalm that we read responsively earlier, Psalm 16, is actually part of the very first sermon of the Christian movement. The poem originates thousands of years before it was preached, but it was Peter who uses it in his very first sermon. Peter is speaking to the crowds that have gathered and are bewildered by this violent rush of wind that has just happened, the divided tongues of fire, and the ability for the Galileans to speak a variety of languages and for every one of them to be able to be understood. It's the story of the Holy Spirit birthing the church. You may have heard it as Pentecost, and it's recorded in Acts, the second chapter. That's where Peter begins to teach people about Jesus, and he uses Psalm 16 in his sermon, one that would be familiar to them, and he uses it to point them to the one God, creator of all, who has raised this Jesus from the dead. It's a beautiful psalm. The first verse communicates a desire for continued protection from God. How often do each of us pray that prayer every day for us and for those that we love and for people for whom we're very concerned all around the world? The remaining 11 verses proclaim supreme confidence in the fact that the Lord will not only protect, but also give counsel, support, instruction, guidance, security, and the fullness of joy. It's an ancient confession of faith, not unlike the Apostles' Creed that we confess and we recite in worship most weeks. I encourage you to pray this psalm each day in the coming week, Psalm 16. To help you stay focused, hold your cup in your hand as you read through each verse. And when you get to verse 5, pause. Spend some quiet moments with God's promise that your life is in God's hands. We touched on that last week. Verse 5 reads, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. It is you who upholds my lot." So let's practice it now, either using your imagination or the cup that you brought tonight or the one that you picked up on the way in. Hold that firmly in your hands and repeat after me. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Here are some things I'd like you to consider as you're holding your cup tonight. How does your perspective shift when you remember that life, all of it, is in God's hands? Think about that for a moment. Now I invite you to think about a particular situation you find yourself in currently. Maybe it's a strained relationship, or maybe there's uncertainty about your health, your work, your living situation. What's something that's on your heart right now? Think about that for a moment. How might that change if you visually imagine handing it over to God? How might it be different if you let go and trust that the situation as well as your life is in God's hands? Just as you hold this cup with firmness and tenderness, know that God holds you. Joyce Rupp, in her book, The Cup of Life, shares a quote from the mystic Thomas Merton. Our minds are like crows. They pick up everything that glitters, no matter how uncomfortable our nests get with all that metal in them. The words create quite a visual, don't they? But the power, I think, comes in the truth that they name. Our lives are cluttered, and not just with gadgets or toys or stuff. These are things that quickly fill up our life. But our hearts are cluttered too, with resentment, negativity, pain, anger, and the list could go on. Now, the clutter isn't bad in and of itself. But when we allow it to take up all the space in our hearts and to capture all of our attention, then there is no more room for God. So I have another challenge for you for this week. The first one, to pray Psalm 16 every day. Here's the second one, to identify that which clutters your heart. And then in a conversation with God, some would call that prayer, be intentional about emptying your heart of that clutter, of giving it over to God. Use your cup as a visual for the practice of emptying. It is an exercise we need to repeat often. Last week we practiced it too, because it just doesn't come natural, that it's a visual for our own life and how we need to live and the rhythm of living that God calls us into. It's not our natural mode of operation. To be empty is not a condition we're likely to pursue. We prefer to be full, to feel good, to be confident, to have things in life going really well. But when lives are full, there's no space for growth. Eventually, you reach capacity. Oh, I wish that P wasn't so strong. Eventually, when your life is full, you reach this point of capacity. You become stagnant. Another way to put it is your heart becomes hard. When we're empty, we're vulnerable. And while that's not a comfortable place to be, it is healthy. The sociologist Brené Brown writes in her book called The Gifts of Imperfection, vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is the source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. So take your cup again and hold it firmly, but with tenderness, and reflect on where being vulnerable might be for you next. Where is there some tension in your life? And maybe if you didn't insist on being right or being first or being best. That's just one example, but to reflect where vulnerability would be your best next step. You see, here's the beauty of vulnerability. When you're vulnerable, you're keenly aware of your dependence on God. When you're vulnerable, you're open to connecting with others. Recognizing your dependence on God and your interdependence with others are the ingredients needed for the wholeness and healing we seek. Jesus shows us the power of vulnerability, especially in these days as we retell his story of the journey to the cross. He submits to God's will. He lays down his life for you so that you might know how very much God loves you. So I've given you a couple of assignments. As you go home this week, pray Psalm 16 once each day. Remember, it's a confession of faith. And then with cup in hand, consider those things that take up space in your heart and mind and give them over to God. Listen for divine promptings and thank God for God's goodness that leads you on the path of life. For with this rhythm of living, you will discover the fullness of joy. Let us pray. Shine the light of your love on your people here, O Lord. Help us to see what gets in the way of our relationship with you. Grant us strength to empty out the clutter that we might more fully live in the truth of our dependence on you and our interdependence with each other. Thank you for your promise that you show us the path of life and that in your presence there is fullness of joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.